right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
I see you. Can we explain to the listeners the setup that you've got going on right now?
Yeah. I've decided to upgrade my setup, except that I haven't actually upgraded anything at all, other than just moving out to my main room.
You moved a couch in, it seems mm-hmm. like, into this mm-hmm. building. You've moved the couch.
Yeah. Moved the couch
new
in.
New couch.
New couch in the building.
Get that from your check?
Yeah. It's from the Stimmy, and mm-hmm. yeah, we got a little supporter money coming in now too, so I felt, you know, if I don't
sure
spend
do.
It, Aaron will.
Yeah, he sure will.
Yeah,
he sure
you
will.
You get to treat yourself before I do.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
So that's good. Well, you look comfortable. You look like you're having a very white boy spring.
Oh yeah.
Right now, mm-hmm. and that's good, and I like that. Aaron, welcome back to the show. Yeah, welcome to the show, there, Aaron. great to have you on. Great for you to be back.
So apologize for my absence.
That's right. So before we...
I'm just kidding.
Before we get into what you've been doing while you've been gone, you burst into the door. You told me you had some information for us. I want to talk with you, Carr, because, Aaron, as you've been away on your adventures, Carr and I have had to hold it down here. Mm. And that's fine, but it's good to go back to good old days. But we've had to deal with a particular topic known as White Boy Summer, which I don't know whether or not you're familiar with it through what's been going on in the outside world, but we've been dealing with the White Boy Summer thing, laying the rules out to the listeners, what it's going to be like. And, Carr, I have a little bit of alarming news for you about White Boy Summer. So I received a message from the elf. Not too long ago, who, as you know, is an ambassador for the TLE ladies of the program.
Right.
And...
Uh-oh.
Wow, you must have got that from your spam folder. Huh.
It's not a spam folder. It's another email that I send to people. I don't really want to read their emails. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I checked, and I happened to check on a convenient time, and there's no easy way to say this, but... A contingent, and this is a large contingent of the TLE ladies, our female supporters, the babes, you know, they are threatening to cancel Goth Girl Fall.
What?
If the ban on flannel is not lifted. And so this is very serious. So for the listeners who didn't understand what they just heard, Chet Hayes... Who's more like a prophet of White Boy Summer? Because really, Carr, you know, I, Aaron, the many of the listeners of the show, we've been doing White Boy Summer since day one. Chet has prophesized a new White Boy Summer. We appreciate him for it. We've been in talks with him. Mm-hmm. A rebirth. A revengeance, some would say. We've been in talks with Chet about how White Boy Summer is going to look. And Chet gave rules out. And the rules stated that... One, you couldn't wear flannel in White Boy Summer.
Really upsetting. Honestly, I was upset about
that.
It was
a challenging rule. It was a challenging rule. And, Carr, you were
at
the brink of...
That's like three-quarters of my wardrobe gone.
Yeah, that is what Carr had said as well. Right. And so, the issue was, it's the case for many of the TLE gentlemen in the audience as well. There was tension. In the air when we released the news. Real tension.
It was, you know, we released that episode onto the website, and it was as if, you know, when someone walks into a restaurant with maybe too scantily clad with not anything to support the clothing.
I was hoping you were going to say walks into a restaurant with a gun.
No, slightly more nuanced, Aaron. You'll get back in gear here. it'll take you a couple. Yeah. It'll take
not
you
going
an episode
right
or two,
into
you'll get
shooting.
You'll get back.
We're not going right into back. School.
You don't go straight. You don't go straight to Columbine from a standstill. You can't. You know, you blow a hammy. You cannot. We can't sustain that.
Yeah, right. That's how Teddy Bridgewater got taken down. You really got to be
careful. I'm gonna tear all your ACLs.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that. Yeah, that has taken out many a running back's career as well. You gotta be careful. Mm-hmm. Very careful.
Yeah. Yeah, fifth gear from a standing.
Really crazy.
From a standstill.
Sorry, Carr.
But
sorry,
what I was getting at
you
was
like that. Yeah, that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
What I was getting at was that basically we released that episode, and a lot of people looked but didn't want to look. You know.
Yeah. Yes.
They saw it. Mm. But they didn't want to see it. And I think that a large part of that was the flannel restriction.
It was a challenging thing we were all confronted with. And of course, now the second part of it is that it goes deeper. So now the ladies, of course, you know, white boy summer, we thought we had it to ourselves. But the ladies have decided that they, too, like the boys. And so that they ought to have some say in what the rules of white boy summer are going to be like. And frankly, I can't disagree. But the terms are difficult.
This is a very challenging situation.
It's challenging. Dynamic. It's like feel like we're in the UN.
We have to walk a very, very fine line.
Feel like we are an international organization of sorts right now, and we're dispute. We're measuring disputes.
On the one hand, I do disagree with the restrictions on flannel. On the other hand, I don't think we should give the ladies an opportunity to have any say whatsoever in anything.
So we're at a crossroads here, but the fact is,
by the way,
there's another threat. It is the threat of they're going to cancel Goth Girl Fall. I'll explain that in a second. Second of all, they're threatening no sundresses during White Boy Summer.
Oh, that is.
So this has become a real challenge here. It's fucked up. And so we have to do something about it. So what I'm suggesting is, frankly, what I'm suggesting is we have to talk to Chet and we have to get some sort of exception made for religious purposes or something. Some sort of a thing that we can get from Chet because we promised early on in the year. We didn't promise this. The elf said we promised this. This is not true. Nobody promised this. It was a prediction on my part and a hope and a voice to the larger male community here. Go get in first gear, boys. Everybody's supposed to get a goth girlfriend for 2021. That was what was said at the beginning of the year. We have to push for this. That's Carr. I know you've been trawling the internet. For the goth GFs, I mean, it's absurd, really. It's
withering.
Frankly how hounding you've been recently with it. And so I appreciate that. And so the point is, I'm not having that taken away from me. And I'm not having the sundresses taken away either. So we have to talk to Chet.
It's
as simple as
what
that.
Do you think we...
Well, simple you guys draft up a compromise. I'll draft up some threats, I guess.
So then case, we'll have one in one hand and then the threats.
You
the
do
other.
That.
We'll just,
you're good at that.
We'll have the carrot and the stick.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, when we speak of the carrot here, now I know what the stick is, or I have a good idea.
Very phallic. Yeah, I was going to say, it's all very phallic, really.
Very.
Interesting.
Now, what are we going to offer Chet as a bargaining chip to get him to rescind the flannel restriction? Do we have any ideas on that? I mean, I just in case.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I you know, I think again, so I think we've got like a communal, listen, if the ladies are saying you got to be able to wear the flannel, how are we going to have a white boy summer if there's no girls?
That's a good point. Yep.
I think that he's a reasonable guy, Chet. And frankly, he's just a prophet. He's not the judge. You know, he doesn't get to make the law here, but, you know, I think he'll agree.
He may have misinterpreted the signs.
Some exceptions.
He may have misread the texts.
They do that all the time. Now, I wouldn't call him a false prophet necessarily because that would debunk the whole white boy summer thing. I'm not doing that. But I am saying, look, I think you said it best, Aaron. A bee in the hand and a bird in the bush, right? That's how it goes. Just we'll be tough with one hand with him and we'll be sweet with the other, right? So... Mm-hmm.
Maybe at the same time. Maybe that's the sort of thing that...
Might need a little bit of tough love, Chet. But anyway, I'll send him an email. We'll get the meeting together. And hopefully, by next week, we have the whole situation.
Let's keep Aaron away from Chet initially until we get Aaron reacclimated. Yeah. I feel like when he branches off on his own and comes back to us after a period of time, we can't have him.
It never ends up well.
No, we can't have him around Chet without us.
No, and frankly, it's frightening, but that'll be a good thing if we really need to get that, if we need to push.
Right. Yeah, if you need to put a scare in somebody and get them to comply, then I'm your guy. But, you know, if you want to do the civilized thing, approach him as a gentleman, speak reasonably, offer some compromises. I'm not it. Mm-hmm. I'm not that guy.
Well, that's humble of you.
No, but you'll be around. But I will be
around.
Tool.
I'll be like in the doorway, just like waiting to kick it in.
Smack somebody to death with.
With a box of bees.
Beating the shit out of them. Yeah. Good. Great. I'm glad we're all on the same page here. Mm-hmm. So, Aaron, while you've been away, in fact, you've really blown a lot of PTO, as far as I understand it right now, like a lot of PTO. So you burst in this morning and you say, guys, I have some information. What's going on?
Well, I blew a lot of PTO because, again, I needed a vacation. My life is very stressful, as you all know.
Right.
And the copious amounts of crack cocaine that I consume doesn't help that situation, but I'm still going to
consume it while you're on vacation, or do you take a vacation from consuming the crack?
It's an important question.
Yeah, it depends on the day, really. Sometimes I need a vacation, so I smoke crack. Sometimes I need a vacation, so I physically go on vacation and smoke crack.
Mystical.
So anyways, I was smoking crack on vacation. And, I mean, you got my call, what was it, last week?
Did.
And I ran into some legal trouble down south of the border.
You sure did.
I was smoking crack on the beach, minding my own business.
Right.
And it was a very windy day out, very blustery. And a group of Mexicanos came up to me and started cursing at me in Spanish, calling me like pinche puto. So I naturally got very offended. Just as I was about to stand up and throw my crack pipe at them, a big gust of wind came, took my umbrella, and impaled what seemed like a very nice couple that didn't have anything involved.
Wow.
Didn't have any involvement with the situation.
Jesus.
So I was immediately taken to a Mexican prison.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for bailing me out. I wish we could have used the Patreon money for something a little more productive.
Right.
But, I'm here.
Listen,
it's
lucky that the Mexican government and the Mexican prison system is so corrupt, we could go there with a $30 bill and give it to them.
Yeah, yep. So anyways,
on
my way back from vacation, I got some disturbing news. You know how we're always worried about, I'm paranoid all the time about rivals coming up and eating up our market share.
Yes.
And we've discussed at length strategies in which to deal with that.
Mitigation.
Yeah, in fact, I believe it's what led to our unionization, which didn't end out too well. But.
Yeah, I mean, we can review the efficacy of that, at a later date, but it did, this is something that we have been concerned with for quite some time.
Yeah, well, so it appears that our friends Ace Cotton and Rabbi Jay have started their own program, which, it's nothing but an overlap with our audience.
What do you mean their own what do you mean program?
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Their own podcast, a Slurp Gang podcast. I don't know what they're going to talk about. I don't know if they have anything to talk about, but
we must
formulate a reaction
it's
really
three
quick.
Guys who talk about named Slurp Gang. And they don't talk about much.
I don't know what they're going to talk about.
That's three.
But
guys
I know what we need to talk
about nothing,
and that's destroying
ridiculous.
Them.
Yeah, that's not, I.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Carl, I'm going to lose my patience here. Just give me a hand. Hold my hand.
I've been smoking a lot of crack, so I'm really paranoid about it. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's something.
I have to tell you, I'm getting.
Just cool down.
I'm getting really tired. I'm really tired of. Entryists
cool off, baby.
In every community I get into. Mm-hmm. I'm very tired of when I entered the libertarian community, there was a bunch of entryists, and they all made things really weird, and it was weird for a while, and I found my place. I was comfortable. I entered the podcasting world as an entryist myself, in fact, stealing everything from Mark Claire. So thank you, Mark. And I've made my bones. You know, we made our bones. God damn it. We've made our bones. Okay? And now, all of a sudden, I'm being told that there's, without any consultation, I don't know how you found out about this, by the way, Aaron, but I'm hearing about this for the first time now. This is outrageous that people can just come in and start their own podcast and capitalize and take our market share, and I'm getting tired of it, and frankly, I'm getting really tired of it. Carr, are you tired of this?
Yeah, it's really a sickening thing to see.
Gross.
A group of guys go through so much, as we have, the ups and downs of the podcast circuit.
Yeah.
Unionization, destruction, rebuilding, rebirth, destruction
Addiction.
Again, more destruction, bottoming out, but then it was a false bottom, and then going deeper still.
Right.
And then just getting back up to neutral and getting our first breath
right.
of air as podcasters, only to have this happen. I'm hot under the collar right now.
Yeah.
We've had to sacrifice so much to become the entrenched interests of the libertarian podcast mm-hmm. community.
That's right.
And we're going to defend
That's
those
right.
interests.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We're well-loved. We're well-liked in the community. People talk about us with glee when they talk about us. They don't ever talk about any slurp gang or anything
no.
like that. There's never been a mention of such a thing before. Their podcast art, it just looks ridiculous. I don't know who made that podcast art, but I'll tell you what, whoever made it would never make podcast art for us.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Nope.
I will tell you
Couldn't
that.
Imagine.
Jeez. Unbelievable stuff. And the music, by the way, is just, it's offensive. Mm. It's offensive stuff. So I'm getting really tired that people keep entering our thing. And so I'm going to start doing research into figuring out how to burn their studio down. I'm not even going to negotiate.
Yeah. This feels like an Aaron Forward type of negotiation. This is one of those where we,
right.
you know, we,
mm.
he's
right.
leading that
In fact,
ranks.
That's great. We'll go to Miami. We'll talk to Chad. We'll do like, you remember how in The Godfather they sent Fredo over to Mo Green's casinos and he was supposed to be over there handling that stuff? Carr, you and I will be like that.
Okay.
We'll go over to the casinos, we'll wheel and deal with wine and dine Chet. And you know what was happening in the meantime while all that was going on? Michael was running the family. Michael was threatening and intimidating. Aaron, boom, here's your time. You get to be the Michael this time. We'll Fredo out. You can go and threaten them, maybe burn something of theirs, and we will burn cigars and drink with Chet in order to convince him to let us wear flannels. Does that sound like a good plan?
Yeah.
Sounds like
everybody.
A decent
story. I think fire is going
to
be involved.
Fire will
like
be
it.
Involved, probably heavily.
It has to be,
yeah.
right? It's the only thing that burns.
I have a feeling that even I, as the relatively cool-headed podcaster of the group, will probably unleash quite a bit of latent rage on these podcasters and their podcasts and probably their studio.
Latent
yeah.
rage. Where's all the, what else? What else is like late? What else has contributed to that latent
no,
rage?
No, just a lot of things swirling around. A lot of things swirling around, and I have my own inner vortex.
How that the neighbor's duck,
neighbor's duck
is that contributing?
Neighbor's duck. A lot of things. The last 3 years of podcasting has really just developed quite a bit of it. So,
yeah, a lot of ducks in the backyard, yeah. a lot of skeletons in the closet, and a lot of ducks in the backyard.
Yep.
That's the story. Well, I think that's our world out of the way for the day. I'm not going to fucking stand for this anymore. And also, we're going to go talk to Chet. That's our world out of the way. I think the listeners, now that they're fully, you're caught up. You know what's going on in our world. Do not go listen to this Slurp Gang podcast. They say they release on Thursdays. The only sense of courtesy that these guys managed to have was not to release on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Apparently the 22nd is the first episode that goes out. I don't know. Anyway.
Let me put it to you this way, dear listeners. Let me put it to you this way. If you listen to that podcast, I'm going to drive up to your house and fucking lynch you.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
How about that?
All right. Okay. You know what? He said that.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And let's move on. It's been said, boys. All right, let me check the board. I'm going to go over to the board. Check out what else we got.
Yeah, we've got a couple things.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, there's a couple of... Listen, before we get on to what I'm going to call the star story of this day, there's a lot of, like, bodily fluids going around. So, the other day, I don't know if... I'm sure most of our listeners probably saw... Yeah, like, cum, Aaron. Exactly. So, the other... Good segue. The other day... 4 days, no, sorry, 5 days ago from recording, that would be on the 9th, a little past April Fool's, Nick, Nicholas Sarwark tweeted, not wearing a mask when asked is like swearing around people who would prefer that you not. You have a right to do it, but you're being inconsiderate to others. Considerate libertarianism is better than inconsiderate libertarianism. Now, whatever you think about that is really not what I want to talk about, actually. It was... a reply underneath that tweet that he replied to. So, at Rogue Liberty One, shout out to you, tweeted, hey Nick, if the U.S. government announced tomorrow that there will be mandatory butt swabs for COVID-19, would you comply and recommend other libertarians do so? Now, Nick, who is really is a shithead, and this time it turned out to be very funny, he goes... my tax dollars pay for a free rub and tug at the TSA checkpoint. I still need to fly, so I take advantage of the service. I had to tweet under it. I said, I also come in the TSA line as a self-defense act. So Nick is saying, the joke was, and it's true. This is the thing, is we like to shit on Nick Sarwark. I am defending Nick Sarwark today. I'm unapologetically defending him today. I agree that there's only one accelerationist possibility. That if you're going to get checked by the TSA, you might as well have an orgasm.
Yeah.
You must finish before proceeding to your gate.
You are not an accelerationist, and therefore you are a stagnantist. You don't change the world. You will simply die and be forgotten if you don't come in the TSA line.
Or you're free not to.
Come in the TSA line. Or free not to.
Or free not to.
There you go. Boom, write it down, Carr. There's your second shirt. We need to do a or you're free not to line. Actually, that would be pretty good. And people, listen, because then people could pick their own. They could they could pick their own version, whichever one best expresses them. Because maybe, well, I don't know what the first one was. It had to do with a baby, and I don't want to remember it. But the second
like,
one,
give
if
your
you
babies
listen,
cocaine.
Cocaine, or you're free not to. There you go. So maybe you're that kind of libertarian, or maybe you're not. That's a good idea. Write that one down.
Climax in the body scanner, or you're free not to.
Free not to.
Vote libertarian.
Free not to. Now, I had a question, and Nick is a lawyer, so he might have an answer to this. Nick, I know you listen at least occasionally because I know you love the sound of my voice. I love the sound of yours, too. Nick, legally speaking, if you were to jizz in the line, right, if you were to blow one out in the line, not by your own volition, but by the volition of the TSA officer. Is that a crime? Is that criminal? Figure that out, Nick. Because I'd like to know.
I don't think
because
it's a crime to orgasm in public.
It can't be, right? What a tyrannical government we would live under if an involuntary action was made illegal. My God. Anyway, there's another tweet regarding, this time it's shit. Here's a thing I found online. This was sent to me by the Elf. Cora, I know you got a chance to look at this one. Bill Mitchell tweeted, and this was on 32820. This was a long time ago, and I don't know why this one passed us up. Figure this one out for me. Diarrhea kills 1.8 million a year. 1.8 million. Where's my diarrhea check?
Yeah, that's a good one.
What does that mean? I still don't really.
Who tweeted this one again?
That was Bill Mitchell. Old guy.
Man, he usually nails it too.
Such a stupid. Huh? Tweet.
Does he usually? You're saying he usually nails it? I don't think I've ever seen that guy nail a. Yeah, you're right.
No.
He actually does nail it. You're right. Nails it all the time. I don't know why you even bit on that one. Diarrhea check. I think if you put it at the date 3/28/20, I'm a little lost. Like I don't really know. Is he talking about COVID? Was it a COVID thing? It's early. It's early still.
I guess.
Where's my diarrhea check?
Where's my diarrhea check? man.
It's a real blunder, man. I don't know. There's a lot of strange things going on.
Somebody's just waiting for you outside the bathroom when you get out.
There's a lot of strange shit going on.
There you go.
God, what else is going on? Oh. Maybe, I don't know, Carr, if you've looked into this one, because you've been on the vaccine thing, seems to fascinate you, but did you see that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is now being halted for use?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. This is an interesting one, because I really don't understand why, which makes me very nervous. And by I don't understand why, I mean by their view, I guess, of the events. So from what I read, and I haven't dug super, super deep into it, but this one has caused blood clots in, I think, 6 women out of, you know, tens of thousands or whatever it is. Not to minimize that by any means. If anything, I'm not anti-vax necessarily, but I would not
looking good.
Advise taking a vaccine for something this survivable. But
not looking good for the vax.
Yeah, yeah. But also, compared to other vaccines, not looking bad,
true.
You know?
Good point.
Yeah. That's like the curious.
Or you're free not to. That's the
that's the curious part about this one, is that if it's true that only 6 people suffered blood clots, and I'm not even sure they were lethal.
One was.
Don't quote me on that part. Okay, so one person died of a blood clot out of probably, I don't know, I have no idea how many of the administered,
200
but a lot,
million?
Probably 100,000, maybe more.
They had 200 million doses.
Well,
they got 200 million doses. That's not 200 million people vaccinated. I don't know why I said that. Yeah, I don't know how many, maybe 20 million. But yeah, it's not a large number, 6.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, that's incredibly low. Like, so, I mean, it rounds to 0, essentially. So that raises the question in my head, why are they canceling this? You know, and you know, your mind can run wild there. But as everybody remembers, the Johnson & Johnson one was, and I tweeted this out, wasn't that the quote-unquote traditional one?
More or less.
In other words, not the mRNA one. Somebody pointed out that it in some ways, yes, it's the more traditional, but it's not necessarily a traditional vaccine all the way. I don't know exactly what that means, because I just don't know that much about the mechanics of these things. But all of the other ones are mRNA vaccines, and this one, I guess, strictly speaking, is not. So it just got canceled.
Some relationship to the AstraZeneca one, by the way, which also caused blood clots and was halted.
I don't know that earlier. I don't know. Your mind can kind of run wild here. I have no idea what's going on, but my guess is it's probably not great.
No, it's
probably not.
Yeah, it's probably not
great.
I don't know. I just thought that was quite interesting, because it's funny that, like, the one that everybody was like, "Oh, it's the traditional one." 6 problems occur, even though we know an unbelievable number of problems have occurred with the mRNA ones. All the people who've been dying immediately after getting it. Come on, like, is there no relationship at all? Wow, that's got to be a coincidence. More than 6 people, I'm sure. Anyway, the point is that one got banned or halted because it was the traditional, or rather, it got halted even though it was looked at as the traditional one. And it's just funny. Now it's like, yeah, you can't even get the one that made you comfortable enough to consider getting it. Now you must choose between Pfizer and Moderna, the ones that make everybody uncomfortable.
Lee Enfield had a good point. He said, for them to halt administration of this vaccine, it must be pretty bad, because they're shielded from liability to begin with.
Yeah, but doesn't the federal government have to pay if they sue?
I think, aren't they immune from lawsuits?
I don't even know. I think the company is, but I think you still sue. I don't know. Regardless, it maybe, maybe not. I'd have to check that after when I'm in editing. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's got to be serious enough that 6 people having what they refer to as dangerous blood clots, like, stops the whole project. Because I know a lot of people who were like, I'll get the Johnson & Johnson one because it's not an mRNA one. Now, are they all just going to change their minds because they can't? Or are they going to wait, and this is going to prolong the process, you know what I mean, of the government being like, oh, well, people aren't getting it because they're not comfortable with it. You know what I mean? Just a frustrating, it's going to be very frustrating. Anyway, that's the at least the annoyingest news that I have for you today. And then I have a final news story of something that I thought was really ridiculous. Aaron, I know you do. You made a lot of fun of him when he was around. It was pretty legendary. I wish I could remember a specific tweet you made about David Hogg. But, Carr, do you remember David Hogg?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the guy from Parkland.
Parkland's shooting survivor, March for Our Lives guy. Yeah. Annoying face.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is, do you know William Legate? You know who that is?
No.
Okay, well, I'll explain him when I explain the story to you. Well, there was a controversy recently, probably a week ago, before we got to cover this. Otherwise, I definitely would have covered it last time. The activist and Parkland shooter, David Hogg, announced on Saturday that he was stepping down from the role at a pillow company, which was created and co-founded in order to rival that of MyPillow, the company owned by Trump supporter Mike Lindell. The tweet goes, April 10th, 2021, I am incredibly appreciative of those family and friends who reached out to support me, and I am thankful to those who supported me in this vision. Effective immediately, I have resigned and released all shares, any ownership, and any control of Good Pillow LLC. I want to thank Will for his partnership and wish him absolutely nothing but success in the future of Good Pillow. He said, over the next several months, I will be taking some time to focus my studies in college and advance the gun violence prevention movement with March for Our Lives and personally. Hogg, a Harvard student, said. So let me give you some background to not David Hogg, but this story. On February 4th, David Hogg made an announcement on Twitter. David Hogg, as I said, is the co-founder of March for Our Lives, which is a student-led pro-gun control demonstration. You'll remember it occurred not long after the Parkland shooting, which Hogg was a survivor of. He partnered with software developer and Peter Thiel protege, William Legate, to launch a pillow company in order to rival MyPillow. But why? Well, Mike Lindell, the CEO, is one of former President Donald Trump, or if you ask Donald, current third-term President Donald Trump, most adamant defenders. And, well, he also happens to be a vocal speaker against the election fraud that occurred in 2020. And it's actually gotten to the point where Dominion Voting Systems, we covered them, sent a cease and desist letter to him, which alleged that he was spreading false information related to the 2020 election. Here's the cease and desist letter. Our law firm is defamation counsel to U.S. Dominion, Inc. We write regarding your patently false accusations that Dominion has somehow rigged or otherwise improperly influenced the recent U.S. presidential election. Despite knowing your implausible attacks against Dominion have no basis in reality, you have participated in the vast and concerted misinformation campaign to slander Dominion. By the way, Carr, pretty sure we participated in that campaign too. Last week, we sent letters to Sidney Powell and various media entities demanding retraction of their myriad false and conspiratorial claims about Dominion. Recently, you have positioned yourself as a prominent leader of the ongoing misinformation campaign. Accordingly, Dominion formally demands that you, number one, cease and desist making defamatory claims against Dominion, and two, preserve and retain all documents relating to Dominion and your smear campaign against the company. Litigation regarding these issues is imminent. With this letter, you are on notice of your ongoing obligations to preserve documents relating to Dominion's claims for defamation based on allegations that the company acted improperly during the November 2020 presidential election and somehow rigged the election in favor of President-elect Joe Biden. Accordingly, you must ensure that you and your principals, your agents, your subcontractors, any agents or employees under your supervision, and all sources of information which you relied upon are preserved and retain all emails, text messages, including messages sent over WhatsApp, audio-visual recordings, voicemails, drafts, notes, communications, documents, data, and electronically restored information of any kind that is in any way related to these matters. That's pretty intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like they great. Think that they're subpoenaing all of that.
Right? Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. That's what it sounds like. It's like, you know, none of that holds any legal weight, right?
No, absolutely none of it.
Amazing.
Which is kind of like dumb, because if they think they're going to get subpoenaed, that's a great warning flag to just go ahead and dump everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Litigation regarding these issues is imminent. Shouldn't it be litigation regarding these issues has already occurred?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, or litigation about
right
these
now.
Incidents is probably way down the road. No need to delete anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you're safe. Keep it all around. Keep it all around. So, obviously, Lindell had to respond to these demands, and he responds by basically telling Dominion that they might as well put up their lawsuit because, and this is a quote, "We have 100% evidence that China and other countries used their machines to steal the election." So there's probably, he's probably China. He's in litigation right now. So they're going through with it, or whatever the case may be. They sued him, or whatever they went through with this. So he's in there right now. We'll figure out whether or not there's 100% evidence that China and other countries use machines to steal the election. It sounds a whole lot like something we already heard and didn't believe 4 years ago. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But
I don't see why somebody like him would abide by a gag order if there is one, or why he wouldn't.
No, they got so much money too.
It's the same thing as every other time either a populist rightist or a populist leftist says, like, I have evidence that's going to fucking, Hillary Clinton is going to be in jail if I drop these files. Like fucking Mike Cernovich, like every other day. If you had it, you would have dropped it.
Yeah.
And to be fair, sometimes they do have evidence, and they do drop it, and then nothing happens.
That is also true. And the other option is that they have evidence, and they intend on going through with it, but the other guy has so much money that they can never get out of court anyway.
Yeah.
Which is probably, I'm thinking that may be at least part of the angle here. But anyway, there's another character to this whole story before I actually talk about Pillow Fiasco. William LeGate, who me and probably most people listening are blocked by on Twitter. In fact, let's take a moment, while everybody, on whatever device you're on, my voice will guide you to your Twitter application or your Twitter browser page. And I want you to go and see if you can find William LeGate. His at, and he's had a few, he's gotten kicked off Twitter twice probably, is pretty obviously William LeGate. That is at William LEGATE. Go check and see if you are blocked by him right now. I am. Many
I am
people
not.
Are. Wow.
Oh, wait. I have WI. There's a Will.
If you can't find a car, you're blocked.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Because he's a blue check. If you search his name, you'll find him. So you're blocked.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't even know who it is, and I guess I'm blocked.
Yeah. So, I'll explain to you who it is. Anyway, he has an infamous block list. He's an infamous block list user, and you should count yourself proud to be on his list. In fact, Aaron, I challenge you that by the end of this program, I want you to be banned by that guy.
There you go.
Oh, I'm calling him a right now.
No, you have this thing where you go from 0 to 5, and it always... It's always never going to go well for you. Why don't you ease into it? Ease into it first.
No, I'm not going to be the only one that's not blocked by him.
All right, anyway. Let's continue, for Christ's sakes. All right, let me know if you get the job done. Also, take TLE out of your bio if you're going to do it. Anyway. All right. William LeGate is a creep to the max. Why? Well, everyone who's associated with Peter Thiel pretty much is. A Peter Thiel... Teal Fellowship member at the age of 18, LeGate, who is now 22, is a Silicon Valley weirdo who is referred to as a tech guru. As far as I can tell, he was picked up out of the ground like an onion. and all he does is troll Donald Trump. Not that I would know on a frequent basis, because he has me blocked, but just search for yourself. All he did for a very long time. I don't know what he does nowadays, because we'll get to where he is now in a moment. He has a number of infamous fails, including a mass trolling event that was organized against him by 4chan's poll board. It sent him crying off Twitter for months after deleting his original account, and since then he's made a new one, which you all just checked. Whatever sort of a guru he is, he's a dummy, and you'll see why in a second. Get back to the pillow fiasco. So Legate first contacts Hogg through Twitter, as many do, to put MyPillow out of business, and adding in another tweet, he did this in public, or at least they orchestrated it in public. We are considering airing a commercial on Fox News immediately following MyPillow ad. My ad buyer says it's unlikely that they'll let us do it, though, since Fox News relies on MyPillow. And if MyPillow goes under, it could also really hurt Fox News. Hogg responded that if they were planning to put MyPillow out of business, they had to hire factory workers because they have family. So, unfortunately, the troubles began shortly. Remember, as I said, this was the 5th of February. By the 16th of February, William Legate tweets, "There's a fraudulent company going around under the name Good Pillow, who started selling fake products after we announced the name. They are not affiliated with us. You order from them, you may be scammed. We are in the process of dealing with this legally, but wanted to make aware." So what happened? Firearms patent trademark attorney and hero of the day, Ben Langlotz, revealed that he had scooped Hogg in an April 5th post on his website titled "How I Taught a Harvard Boy a Lesson About Trademarks."
Oh, wow.
He said, "I was surfing Twitter one evening in February when I ran across a story about David Hogg's new scheme." The scheme that Langlotz was referring to was the announcement that William Legate planned on creating a company called Good Pillow. So the shit eater smiles and says, "I've seen it countless times. The new product is announced, but the company didn't apply to register for the trademark." So I clicked over the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office website, searched Good Pillow, nothing filed.
Oh, boy.
Langlotz said that he did not file the request in order to undermine Hogg's infamous, nefarious leftist plans or to own the libs, he said shittingly, but that he intends to offer pillows under the brand name.
Huh.
Remember that. Just remember that.
Okay.
Two trademark applications have been made for the use of Good Pillow, according to the Patent Trademark Office database. One was for this guy, and another was for a North Carolina resident, Robert Holland. Here's the thing. Langlotz tweeted, "This Harvard genius didn't realize that our trademark system gives rights to the first application. I actually just filed, and he's going to have to pick another brand. I think this is a good brand to put on pillows with a pro-gun civil rights message."
Oh, boy.
Nice.
Oh,
Legate was furious, obviously. He told Newsweek, "The United States follows a first use in the commerce system. We do not follow a first to file, as you falsely claim. We will not be changing our name. We have the first use in commerce, and we are confident that their applications will be rejected." In response to that, Langlotz, our hero, told Newsweek, "I will assess whether Legate is infringing on my trademark rights at the appropriate time, with the usual avenues used by trademark lawyers like me every day to address any infringement." Currently, however, if you check, the name Good Pillow appears to be registered under Robert Holland's name, a resident of North Carolina. So I guess the applications were not rejected, Legate.
Wow.
So that's the story. That is the whole MyPillow story. I also wanted to include the voice clip of Mike Lindell during the voting period, when he was talking about how Jesus Christ himself chose Donald Trump to lead the country.
Oh, very good.
I recommend everybody go and check that out, because the man believes what he says, and that is always an admirable thing to see. But yeah, there you go. That's the whole story. Getting hustled, trademark hustled, a guy who got $100,000 when he was 18 years old by Peter Thiel in a job for being a tech guru. The fuck that means, I don't know. I know a whole bunch of tech gurus myself, and they don't get paid by Peter Thiel.
Peter Peel.
Peter Peel, yeah. Anyway, it's weird. Weird situation, weird guy. I'm glad that it looks like an embarrassing failure so far.
Well, I mean, I hate to point out you know, something slightly maybe uncouth, but that William LeGate certainly has the appearance that he may be swinging for the other team.
Well, yeah, I don't know. And also, yeah, you're right.
Which, obviously, so does Peter Thiel, right?
Oh, you think they're fucking?
Yeah.
Is that where this is going?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
I mean,
you think they're bumping uglies?
Think that they might have fucked? Is Peter Thiel gay?
Yes. Like famously.
Oh, he's famously. What does that mean?
I don't know. I've got a poster of him. I've got a poster of him on my wall.
Yeah, that's what makes him famous guy. I like it. Yeah. Hey, man. Maybe he was his muse. Maybe he's a muse. I don't know. He's a handsome.
All I'm saying,
he's a handsome fella. He's definitely, listen, William Leggett, handsome fella. But
got
maybe
picked up at exactly 18 by Peter Thiel.
Listen, that's an allegation? No, it's just a thought, right? It's just a thought. And there's no seriousness to it because this is a comedy podcast and we don't say things that are defamatory, because we've already learned that if you try and say defamatory things, you get a lawsuit, like Mike Lindell. So we don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm.
You can't accuse people of bumping fag uglies.
Yeah.
Front to backsies.
He's gearing up. You see, hear this?
Yeah.
He's gearing up.
Yeah, he's gearing up.
He's like, it's like an engine revving. Yeah. It's like an engine revving.
I'm about second gear right now.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. It's really concerning.
So
really
concerning.
That's the news, boys. That's all I've got for you. I mean, the other thing is that Minneapolis is looking like it's about to blow up again, but I mean, you know, we don't cover that kind of stuff very often because it's...
No, we don't. I actually have a news item, though.
Not the format for this.
That I would like to cover, and this is an extension of, if you boys have another
10
minutes or so. this is fairly breaking. I saw our boy, I don't even want to say friend of the show, part of the show, Pazzi, tweet this out, mere minutes before we hopped on to record this. And this is a bit of an extension of the conversation, Bird, we were having on Friday for my episode of The Signal about the WeWorkification of the country and the ongoing Cold War and population moves. So Paz tweeted out an article, or was tweeting at someone with regards to an article, and I looked it up, and I couldn't, because I couldn't believe it when I saw it. So, and maybe you've seen this, Aaron, maybe you've seen this as well, but I had not seen this before. And apparently this is kind of a trend. So what Paz had tweeted was about the city of Morgantown, West Virginia. If you're unfamiliar, that's where the University of West Virginia is, in the Appalachian Mountains, is offering people who work from home for a company not located in West Virginia $12,000 to move to Morgantown, to relocate there and to work from there, which is a lot of money. Obviously in a bid for talent and for brains and for money and to revitalize if you spend any time in Appalachia, it has become a somewhat of a depressed region in a lot of ways, though I still love it there. So not only are they getting $12,000, but they're getting a free pass, a year-long pass to all the state parks, which in a place like West Virginia, which is a beautiful state, is pretty wild. I mean, that's a pretty interesting relocation package that they've had. So I started to research and read a few articles, and it looks like West Virginia is actually not on the bleeding edge of this. Other places have done it, such as Vermont, Northwest Arkansas, Savannah, Georgia, Tucson, Arizona, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I guess some program in Hawaii. Now, I did a cursory look at a couple of these programs, And a lot of them, while still very attractive, if you're looking at like Vermont's beautiful, Northwest Arkansas is beautiful and really cool. Savannah, Georgia, if nobody's been there, that's an awesome place. Really, really cool. I've never been to Tulsa or Tucson, but regardless of whether it's a great place to live or not a great place to live, if somebody's handing you 10 grand cash, that's pretty interesting. So all of these other areas, notice where they are, with the exception of one. With the exception of Vermont, all of these places are from the exact region that we identified on the signal, which is basically the South, Arizona East. But all of these other programs that started a little bit earlier, and it looks like the Vermont one started in 2018. I think a lot of the other ones started during COVID. They were basically reimbursing moving expenses. West Virginia just said, screw that, we're going to give you cash. So they're nice. Going to stretch out. Yeah. So they're going to stretch out 10 grand over the first year, over the 12 months. So I guess monthly stipends of that 10 grand divided out. And then the final $2,000 comes on the first month of the next year that you live there. So I guess what they think is, I'm sure that there's a lot of smart minds kind of like tinkering with how this works and what the best bang for your buck is. But I guess what they're thinking is, hey, if we leave that last little carrot after the first month of the second year, you theoretically sign another lease, or maybe you found a house, and that helps you with your down payment or something like, and our odds of retention are X, whatever that is. But this is super, super interesting, not just because of what West Virginia is doing, but because of what everybody else did before it. And now it looks like they've created some sort of mini bidding war for talent, for people that can work from anywhere and are mobile. And I mean, if you take something like 12 grand, like this is brilliant. I think if you take a place like West Virginia, where if you're unfamiliar with the Appalachian Mountains, a lot of these, the towns, and I don't know if you have to live in Morgantown proper, because Morgantown is supported by the university to some degree. So the property prices probably are a little bit inflated, but, a lot of these places are so, so cheap to live. I mean, a lot of these places, you can pretty much cover your living expenses with the 12 grand they're handing you. Damn close anyway. 12 grand, like you can go into an Appalachian town, probably buy a 2-3 bedroom house for 40 grand, 50 grand in some places. Because there's nothing there except for, an opioid epidemic. This is just one more thing in this. I think you're going to see,
You have more of a mind for this car, not to interrupt, but you have more of a mind for this, like what you could see down the way. Like what is very good about this?
I think, Aaron, do you have anything?
Yeah. I think the whole work from home market is wildly overinflated right now. You saw what happened with WeWork. They went belly up. They were massively overvalued. Their whole idea of like shared office space, cramming as many different businesses into a shared communal office space didn't take off as well as they thought it would. A lot of investors lost money. And when companies are able to have their employees work from home, that means that they no longer have the expenses of maintaining an office. So what that translates, we as libertarians, I say that right now because I'm talking to you two, we would see that as increasing their profit margins because they can manage a business essentially from their house for a lot less money. But me being a pessimistic Marxist-Leninist would see that as companies are more likely going to end up downsizing and probably cutting pay as well, because they can maximize, like the companies that don't immediately die off from competition, from companies that competition that does it more efficiently, those companies are going to reap the benefits, and it's probably going to end up being only a couple. So that could be a disaster for West Virginia as well, because of the contingency that you have to be working from home for a company outside of West Virginia, correct?
I think, Most of the ones that I read, that was the deal. That was the deal in Vermont, but maybe not in West Virginia. Yep. I'm scanning this article. It may not be the case.
Oh, I must have missed that then. Hold on. So the part of the deal was that it has to be for a company outside of West Virginia.
That may not be the case for West Virginia. That may have been the Vermont one that I was reading.
If
I'm
you talk to people that are working from home right now, ask them how they feel about their job security. I'd be very interested in that.
Well, I mean, I do. I think there's like two things here. We're gonna come up against I think it goes one of two ways for each individual company. One way is that, you know, and I talked to Jacob about this. Jacob used to go into an office and his company is primarily like he's a software developer. And now they're saving money hand over fist on commercial space and they just need to have a server, I guess. And they're more profitable than they've ever been. I assume Jacob's doing well. I mean, he's a talented dude. And so they're able to grant flexibility to their employees and perhaps more pay. And again, that would come down to if it's a competitive market, you know, that would happen over time. And then I think the other side is kind of Aaron, what you're saying mm-hmm. is like, there's been a lot of people that have been forced to work from home that may not be the optimal arrangement. And then it can go south.
I'm thinking like sales, customer service, all these really like very paper thin margin type industries.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it just depends. Yeah. It depends, but yeah, you're for sure. Like the lower skilled, stuff is it will certainly have thinner margins. The slightly more skilled stuff will have bigger margins,
and those margins are thin because of employment expenses, mostly. So like
yeah.
when those thin margin companies figure out where they need to save money, especially if they're, you know, a relatively new company that's not quite out of the red yet, I could see them going to. You know, everybody's working from home. We don't need as many employees. I don't know. That's just me being.
Yeah,
maybe I'm just being a pessimist.
No. I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways. I think that we're in a time of tremendous, like people are like reorganizing. They're trying to figure out
absolutely.
What and a lot of things are. We're trying to apply certain things to old ways, and it's like, you know, the old thing like when the car came around. Like when the car was invented, at first they gave cars straps for steering because like people like were used to horses, you know? And so you like applied some ridiculous goofy thing to like, you know, now that would seem insane, but it's because it's what people were used to. And so I think that we're particularly, and it's been catalyzed by COVID, but we're in this upheaval right now, a peaceful and creative destruction type upheaval that I think will come out much more for the better. But yeah, I think that the companies that are able to innovate and figure out how to make this work are going to do really, really well. And then I think you're going to see other companies follow their lead. And then some companies will figure out, oh, we just simply can't, this is not something that we can do from home. You cannot operate a restaurant from home, obviously. Not that any of them were duped into thinking that from the jump, but just as an extreme example. A place like West Virginia doing this. Now there's also, again, this is a government program. So there's going to be all sorts of secondary effects that we don't, you know, I'm sure some we can speculate on and some we can't, but my point is not necessarily to analyze it as a libertarian. My point is to just analyze this growing cold war between regions in the United States. And I think that it's competition for resources. And in the information age, what are the biggest resources? Well, it's human brains, it's human minds. And I think that's what this represents is West Virginia saying, holy shit, we're going to get left behind. We already kind of have been, but maybe we can throw this Hail Mary. Maybe in this era, we have the state's natural beauty. We have very low cost of living and it doesn't take much to get, maybe they ran the numbers. Maybe they hired someone with some experience in this, ran the numbers and said, look, we can afford to get, if we give out 12 grand over a year, and people start buying houses, you know, maybe it pencils out. I have no idea. But what's more important is the fact that they're trying. That's the most interesting point. All other points to me are secondary. It's this intense, people are clamoring for resources, and whether they're consciously doing it because of a Cold War, I mean, I don't think so, or just subconsciously doing it, and it's guiding things towards that friction. You know, is almost irrelevant which one of those the two it is, because it's happening. And so I think this is going to be super interesting to watch, because I bet there's a lot of people with a lot of seed money that say it would be really nice to have a lot of people with brains that we can employ, you know, potentially for future projects around here.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I just think about how West Virginia is already a pretty depressed state as far as unemployment goes. And where things are starting to open up again, commercial office tenants are starting to steadily come back in throughout the country. I would hate to be in West Virginia collecting $12,000 and then find out that I'm unemployed, collecting federal or state unemployment or whatever it is, and costing that state even more money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a bet. I mean, it's a bet for sure.
I
don't know what the screening process is. They may have some sort of screening process to say if you're in XXX industries and you've been employed for, because you can get a pretty good feel for whether somebody is going to be stably employed. You know, insurance companies have to do that all the time. That's an actuarial work that can be done. I don't know. Yeah, you bring up a great point. It could be a Hail Mary, but frankly, a state like West Virginia doesn't feel like they have a whole lot to lose.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the case for a lot of people, like a lot of places in the South. Not a place like Savannah, Georgia, necessarily, but there's a lot of places in the South where it's like, man, we really don't have a whole lot to lose here. Why don't we just throw a Hail Mary and see if we can get some people here? Because if they do, if it works, the flip side of this is if you have people coming in, they get 12 grand and they're making 100 grand a year working remotely, and they buy a house for, you know, with a monthly payment of nothing. And all of a sudden, hey, maybe they're out at the restaurants every day, you know, because, money is just flowing in, and they're taking advantage of all the local services, and it serves to uplift the community. So I don't know, you know, it's like you said, there's a lot of ins and outs to this for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see,
yeah,
how this goes. On a macro level, and how it goes in West Virginia.
Oh yeah, 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 and I'm sure that there will be success stories, and I'm sure there will be devastating failures, but all will be observable and listenable on this podcast.
You know what you can do, right? You can get that good pillow when we hit big time. You can get that good pillow and you can stuff it full of space bucks.
Yeah, space bucks. Yep.
Yeah.
Trump bucks, baby.
I have two my pillows.
Do you?
Do you really?
I do. Yeah. And
how are they?
Well, at first I wasn't very impressed, but in order to get the best use of a my pillow, you have to actually put it in your dryer, because that'll activate the memory foam. And I'm not fucking with you. You have to do that. It's on the tag.
You have to activate the pillow?
Yeah, by putting in it, by just running it through the dryer.
The fuck?
And then after that, it was like a brand new pillow,
a lot of
and it was amazing.
Was it amazing? All right, well.
Yeah, they're pretty good pillows.
Go to mypillow.com, put in hashtag TLE in the mypillow.com page to get no money off your MyPillow. Please do that now.
That's a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I assume there's nothing else after that. That's a pretty great way to go out. Until next week, keep two hands on the wheel.
Oh, one more thing. No. Coming up on Friday. Coming up on Friday, you're going to have Boys Town with Aaron with two special guests, Lee Enfield and Michael the Barbary Corsair.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, right. Wait. That's right, because they won the contest of who could hit the correct... What was it, 14 and 88 were the two numbers, was it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think Mike was the one who called me a faggot. He was the 14th person to call me a faggot. And Lee, well, Lee was the... 1350. Sorry. Let me tell you what 13.
All right. 13, 15.